Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
The Chicago offense.
Matt Forte, Tulane University.
Touchdown Bears! A dramatic catch by Matt Forte.
Matt Forte.
Forte, 50-yard run for a touchdown.
You know, just watching Matt Forte on film, watch him here. He can make those jump cuts. I mean, he can plant that left foot and then jump way over to the right and then plant the right foot and go upfield again.
10-year NFL veteran.
Unbelievable teammate. Unbelievable friend.
I'm going to tell my kids about this guy. I'm going to tell my grandkids about this guy. He's a legend. He's somebody that should be in the same conversation with the greats. He's the best player I've ever played with.
Two-time Pro Bowl selection.
Forte picks up another first down and more. He is inside the 10 and will take it in for a Bears touchdown.
Matt Forte, 32 yards of excellence.
One of the 100 greatest Bears of all time.
You know what, guys? It's a pleasure and an honor to be a part of this team. I'm excited about this. I haven't been on a team in a long time. It's good to be back, Holmes, with you and Spiegel. You know, it's good to be back with you guys.
Underrated, but I still be scoring Matt Forte. Matt Forte with Spiegel and Holmes.
I think we're on record of how important Matt is.
On 670 The Score.
Matt Forte now joining us here on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. Matt, how are you, man?
What's up, Holmes?
Everything is cool, man. Meet my buddy Jason Leisure, who I believe you guys were classmates at Tulane.
Everybody thinks that I know you. Everyone assumes that I know you. I don't think we've ever met, but I think I'm 1 year ahead of you in school, and we were there, or maybe two. We were there at the same time, and I cover the Bears now for the Chicago Sun-Times, and everybody thinks I know you, but I'm pretty sure we've never met.
Matt, were you in the A.B. Freeman Business School?
No. That's what I should have been doing, though.
Instead of journalism. We don't know each other. I was front row in business class at Tulane. See, at Tulane, you don't get any grades or anything like that. Even if you're an athlete, they sit you in the front row and say, "Do your work and make sure you earn your degree." So, you know, respect to Tulane, and you certainly earned your degree from there as well. That's why you're on this show and successful.
So, thank you.
It's just Tulane.
You got your. Here it is. Yes.
You thought we didn't have the Tulane fight song in the vault? We got it.
I assumed Tanny would find it.
I had to do the Tulane fight song in the cafeteria as a rookie because Olin Krutz made me stand on the chair and sing the fight song. That's probably the last time I did that. Even heard the song.
I graduated in 06, and 2005, Lawrence, was
the Katrina year.
Kind of the breakout season. I mean, Matt Forte was good the whole time, but Matt Forte was really starting to have that name recognition in 2005 when they're playing their games all over the place. The students are all over the country, and you guys are playing in like San Antonio and Dallas, maybe even.
Oh, we played all away games during Hurricane Katrina season. We were everywhere.
See the Matt Forte ascent at Tulane because of that.
Yeah, because you were at a different school, right?
Everyone was at a different school except the athletes. I mean, it was either...
No, us too. Yeah, we were at Louisiana Tech in a condemned dorm.
Oh, jeez. Wow. Condemned dorm. Well, that's probably redundant. I mean, I would guess they're all condemned dorms at La Tech. But
man, look at the shades of La Tech that's going on with the Tulane guys.
You know who I was friends with from the football team was the punter. Did you play with Chris Beckman, the punter?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Beck.
Yeah, we came in the same year. We were friends. And Tulane, I don't know if you've seen any of their games recently, Lawrence, the last few years when they've been pretty decent. Good. They have their own on-campus stadium right now that's beautiful. Back then, they played in the Superdome, and it was really not good. It's a 70,000-seat cavernous stadium, then with like 10,000 people in there. Very quiet, very cold. It's off campus.
I like to say it was intimate.
I like to say it was whatever the opposite of intimate is.
You know, it was like I get to play at home, hometown kid. I can see my mom and dad are right there. You know, it's now I have to search the crowd for them and try to find them.
Easy to find. Right.
You know, easy to find a lot of people that I went to high school with and everything. So, you know, it was an intimate setting if you look at it that way.
We should send this last 5 minutes to Tulane because we have just done a commercial for Tulane. And I appreciate that because it was actually where I was going to go to law school.
It's a great place to go for business school like Forte and Cairo Santos did, and a great place to go for law school.
Uh-huh. Yeah. But then I fell into this business.
Coach Summerall. Yeah.
And then here we are. Here we are with the Bears. And so, Matt, I got to ask you.
I had 100 more Tulane.
No, that's enough.
That's not interesting to the rest of Chicago.
No,
okay.
We have a lot of Bears questions that we need to ask Matt and get his opinion on it. So let's start with this. Looking at that game, why do you think the Lions had so much success on offense?
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
When I look at that game, I'd say execution was something that they possessed that we did not, as well as just discipline. I'm kind of confused as to why the Bears, the last two games or the first two games, have had so many pre-snap penalties and penalties overall. We're starting behind the ball on first and second down. And then we're creating third and longs, which are low percentage for us to make first downs. So they're drive killers, or even, you know, we don't even get a drive to start. So that's a lack of discipline and execution, which you see when we looked at the game against the Lions. They were executing on, you know, certain plays where only their playmakers can make those type of catches or runs or blocks or tackles. And it was just a vast difference of being able to take advantage of each opportunity and say, I'm going to win this matchup. And we didn't do that. So you see a methodical team that's doing that, and you see a butt whooping on the other side. And that's what happened.
Matt, when you see the Bears, we're talking about false starts and stuff like that. When you see them come out of halftime and DeAndre Swift, the running back, gets a false start, where are you starting the investigation on what went wrong there? How that happens?
I mean, it's hard to pinpoint or say I'm going to start the investigation, you know, within a certain player or even the offense. It's like I said on the previous show last week. Unfortunately, you have to keep saying this. It is a full team sport. But also things like that comes down to that does come down to coaching. Like, how many times are we going to jump off sides? And obviously the players have to play the plays and have to play. And the coaches, you know, they're not, they can't make someone not jump off sides, but they can reinforce the, discipline aspect of this kills the game or the drive, the offensive momentum before it even starts. So these are things that we can't have. And thinking of just legendary coaches like Belichick and even Coach Lovey, when we played with him, like, that's unacceptable. Like, we can't have mistakes like that are mental. You know, someone makes a physical mistake, or you're outmanned, or you get outmatched. Someone's, maybe that guy was just better than you on that particular play. We can live with that. But if it's a mental error where it's just you can't get this started before it even – you can't get this right before it even starts, those are things that we can't have. We're not good enough to make mistakes before the play even begins and then overcome those within, a drive or – you know, a quarter or even a half or an entire game. It's just, we can't do those things. We have to be almost play perfectly disciplined football to even be in the game.
watching some of the down and distances for the Bears because of penalties and whatnot, they seemed like they weren't real. You see, like, oh, second and 33, third and 34. Like, those are not real downs and distances. If you're in that, like, how Matt, I don't even have a question. I just, like, how in the world are you supposed to bounce back from that when if you're in the huddle and you know it's third and 34 and you know what the play call is not to the sticks, because how could it be? It must be demoralizing when you're in that position.
Yeah, I mean, it's even as a, even if you're a play caller, those aren't even real plays that you have in your playbook to set up. And you have to almost make we actually had that's one of the things for your first question. What was the difference between them and us was their explosive plays as well. We didn't have a lot of them or we missed them. And they had a lot of explosive plays. And what I mean by that is a run that's, you know, over 15 yards or a catch that's 20 plus. And, you know, there's just not a play call that says, hey, on second and 25, we're going to get, you know, 15, 20 yards on this play or 30 yards. So you put the play caller at a disadvantage when you do that. But then also there's, you put yourselves at a disadvantage. You know, you're kind of trying to get two plus first downs when it's hard to even get one in the NFL. So we're making things more difficult for ourselves by the penalties and, you know, just kind of being behind the chains before the game even starts.
Matt, big picture with their running backs, do you think they have what they need with the type of running back that DeAndre Swift is? And then really unknowns after him in Roschon Johnson and Kyle Manungai.
I do think that they have a talented backfield that can, by committee, which I never was a fan of running back by committee just because I wanted to do it all. I wanted to be that guy.
You were.
But with these guys that they have, I think all three of them can make it happen. The difference is, you know, the same thing is as when you get pre-snap penalties. If you have defensive line penetration into the backfield before the play gets started or before the handoff, or, you know, maybe there's, you know, just not any holes to run through, that makes it a lot more difficult as well. But we haven't established a running game. I don't know what they really specifically need to do besides up front. We just need to be a lot better on the interior and on the outside, honestly, as well. And, you know, it's one of the things that I was confused about even when we get to the draft this year. You know, the first pick of the draft that we had, not the first pick, the first round of the draft, our first pick, we went tight end, and he had like one target on Sunday. And I'm confused as to why we weren't trying to just continue to reinforce and bolster up our offensive line when clearly with a young quarterback running games, having a efficient, effective running game helps the offense to run better. It helps the quarterback to have less pressure on himself. It helps where defensive coordinators can't just blitz you like they did the second half of the Monday night game against the Vikings. So these are the type of things where, yeah, it's a passing league. We cliche kind of say that as a cliche, but an effective running game really does help teams. I mean, if you look at the Eagles, they passed for like 120 yards and they beat the Chiefs. So having an effective running game is something that's kind of a key aspect that we're missing on offense.
Everyone's thinking what you're thinking about the draft. The Bears are sitting there after the draft saying, well, we had this guy, we had certain running backs we wanted, and it just didn't work out at certain picks. But I mean, who went into that draft thinking the top two picks they make should be tight end and wide receiver? That was really strange when you have these needs at defensive end and offensive tackle. And I would have thought a good blueprint for their draft would have been attack one of those positions, and then in the second round, you go get a running back because you need one.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that. I was looking for them to go either O-line or D-line up front, or even back-to-back offensive line and D-line. And even with running back, you can get myself, you can get Adrian Peterson, you can get Beast Mode, Marshawn Lynch, all of these guys. If the guys up front don't handle business, it's really going to be hard to do your job as a running back there. So, I am as befuddled as you guys are.
Well, it's interesting because the point that Jason raises, and we're talking with Matt Forte about what's going on with the Bears, is maybe we've got guys that were drafted in the second round that aren't dressing for games.
Unsuitable to play.
Which is wild
to me. Second round picks.
And then you have, as Matt pointed out, you have your first pick in the draft not really be a part of the game plan. Now, Ben Johnson seemed to offer a window into why. Like, he's saying, hey, we got to find out who's going to play, who wants to play. I'd love to know from your experience, Matt, what's it like for young guys from college making it to the pros and understanding what a professional practice should feel like and look like? Because there's part of me that wonders if the young guys have done all the things that they need to do to prove that they're professional enough to get onto the field.
Yeah. The NFL it looks a little different now. Like when I first came in, there still was camp with two-a-days and you had those you know legendary veterans that's on the team and you kind of you don't talk much. You kind of just want to prove yourself and you really want to follow up behind the guys who are perennial Pro Bowlers and watch what they do and kind of set your course for your career that way. Today's sports entertainment NFL, where the entertainment is becoming bigger than the name of the sports, I'm not so sure guys really are thinking about practice and how to get better and how to make the transition or the jump into the NFL from college in a way that they're going to say, I'm going to be an asset to this team immediately. Sometimes guys are just, they're satisfied. It's like, I'm on the team, and this isn't something new either. One of the things that has, and I want to make this clear, this is not bash the Bears, show. I just want to, I speak the truth. And even since when I got there in 2008, even before, I've had teammates who have been like, yeah, man, I can't believe, we drafted this guy and we drafted this one guy, back in 2005 or 2004 before you got here, he was a second round pick and he never played it at all. Or who is this guy that we drafted? He's a third rounder and he don't even play special teams. He's not contributing to the team. I mean, they had some guys that, you can call it complaining, but they were concerned about the recruiting process, the draft process. And it seems to be the same thing that is going on more than a decade later. So we have some issues with, and I'm going to be honest with you, Bears fan, we do have a lot of issues to address. And I think they're equally on the field as they are off the field.
The storyline with DeAndre Swift and Ben Johnson is so interesting to me because they were together in Detroit. Ben Johnson was not part of drafting DeAndre Swift and was part of them trading DeAndre Swift. Then he takes the job here, and DeAndre Swift is the best running back they have. And Johnson and Bieniemy have been saying all offseason and now into the preseason and regular season, DeAndre Swift is running much more north and south. He's hitting the holes harder. DeAndre Swift, every time you ask him, says, I'm doing nothing different. I'm doing exactly what I've always done. So, Matt, when you watch DeAndre Swift, what is your comparison of DeAndre Swift 2025 versus DeAndre Swift 2024?
Yeah, no, I think he's being a bit, I don't know if it's modest or pride, but saying that you're doing nothing different, maybe from his perspective, that is. But I would say, yes, he is running more efficient. I think that comes from Coach Eric Bieniemy. And, I mean, look at the guys that he's coached with, Adrian Peterson, and has coached running backs with the Chiefs and successful teams. And that's what kind of runners that they had, with guys that were very decisive in runs. They weren't trying to bounce the ball all the time or take chances where, it's like, okay, the play is blocked for this particular you know, run, I'm not going to try to, you know, fake a guy out where maybe I run through him and get some extra yards. So I definitely see that it's way more concise, and decision making is way more straightforward, where it's north and south, than the year before. Because he definitely was I think it seemed like when he first got here, he was trying to make plays happen, whereas like, I'm going to try to press and make things happen. But sometimes you got to let the game come to you, and you just keep hammering away until it pops in the running game for you. So, I do see a difference in that he's definitely not trying to run east-west as much as he used to.
You brought up Eric B. Are we talking about Eric Bieniemy? I have a question for you. So there's all these different approaches to coaching, and I think of this as like parenting too, where I have two daughters, and I can walk into both of their rooms, messy rooms, you guarantee it. I walk into Grace's room, and I say, hey, this looks ridiculous. Get this right. And she does. I walk into Anna's room, and I have to say, sweetie, honey, hi. Hey, this isn't really how we want our room to look. It'd be great if you would tidy up. And they'll both do it. I got to take a different approach with each one. Eric Bieniemy is more that first approach. Which approach did you respond to best as a player, Matt?
Yeah, I'm not a guy who needs to be yelled at or cursed at, or, you know, you got to jump down my throat or whatever. I'm a guy that you can talk straightforward to me. It's you know, we can be accountable in that way. And the film doesn't lie. The film hurts worse than any words than a coach could tell you. You know, you make a mistake, it's boom, it's blown up, it's right there, it's on film. And the eye in the sky don't lie. So I was the type of guy, you know, I'm a grown man, you know, we're in the NFL, so talk to me like a grown man.
Matt, as always, man, we appreciate you. Thanks for stopping by the show. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, brother. Thank y'all.
Roll wave.
Hey, Chicago, it's Mully here.
And David Haw. We're always starting your day with the best Chicago sports talk. Mornings 5:30 to 10 on The Score.
And don't forget, if you miss the show live, you can always get us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Catch every show, every hour, every segment of Mully and Haw on demand.
It's so easy. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Mully and Haw, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.